Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. On this week's podcast, I'm talking to Cami Cote, my friend, who lives in Missoula, Montana. She is a licensed Reiki master teacher, and we actually went through the program together with Colleen Benelli as our mentor. Cami is also a vibrational sound therapist and a registered yoga teacher, and she learned Reiki in 2012 and became a Reiki master in 2013. And then she traveled to Portland, Oregon and took the five-day professional member training with Colleen Benelli, where she learned about the licensed master teacher program. In 2018, she entered the program right around the same time that I did, and she finished all the licensing requirements recently and is a fully licensed Reiki master teacher with the ICRT. Cami facilitates Reiki classes, individual healing sessions, and public sound baths in Montana, Idaho, and Washington. And she's currently teaching and facilitating sessions and classes online. Welcome, Cami.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here, Pam.
Thanks. I'm so glad you are here.
Before we begin,
I just want to let people know about some of the offerings that both Cami and I have coming up. In January, I'm teaching all of the ICRT licensed classes, level 1 and 2, Masters and Karuna Reiki in the Atlantic time zone online. In February, I'm teaching level 1 and 2 and Masters Reiki classes, as well as animal Reiki and animal communication in the mountain time zone, because I was supposed to have traveled to Alberta to teach in February. And in March, I'm teaching all of the classes, the ICRT licensed classes, level 1 and 2, Masters, and Karuna Reiki Masters, as well as Animal Reiki in the Australian time zone. So I'd love to have people join us. We also have a new session of the Reiki Master Mentor starting in January. So if you're guided to join us, please look for that class on our website in the calendar section. And I also hope you'll consider joining us for our free monthly online Reiki share and sign up for our newsletter and subscribe this podcast. Cami, you've got some great classes coming up as well. Do you want to tell us a bit about those?
Sure. Yeah, I'm in Montana, so I'm in the mountain time zone, and my website is Heart Rhythm Reiki, and I've got classes coming up in 2021 in January, March, June. I teach all levels of Holy Fire Reiki, so the best thing to do is to go to the website to look at the dates. I also facilitate a bi-monthly online Reiki share that is on the first and third Wednesday of every month, and all of this information is on my website.
And we'll be putting a link to your website in the comments. And as well, we'll also have a link to a wonderful article that you wrote, Cami, about yoga and Reiki. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we begin the interview, I just wonder if we could do a short prayer or invocation. And so I'm just going to invite everyone listening and us as well to just draw our Reiki symbols in the room around us or in our hands and just invoke them however you do. And if you don't have any symbols, just begin your Reiki energy flowing. I'll just give you a few minutes to do all of that. And I'll invite you to bring your hands together in Gassho with your thumbs at your heart. And we just invite the Reiki energy to flow through us today, helping us release the busyness and the strain, that some of us may have been under in recent times? Any difficulties we've experienced? Any stress? Any fatigue? Weariness? We invite you to listen to the podcast with your mind, your heart, your ears, your spirit, your energy, and your emotions, and listen to it to hear the pieces that are the most valuable for you with an openness to receive. We're entering into a time of celebration of solstice and Christmas, of Hanukkah, of the Chinese New Year, of Kwanzaa. No matter where we are in the world, we're on the cusp of a celebratory time. And so I invite the energies of busyness and overwhelm and any energies that might get in the way. Of getting to the true meaning of the celebration, regardless of the culture of what we are celebrating. We seek to move into that, move into the original meaning behind whatever you are celebrating. Releasing anything that might get in the way. We invite Reiki to be with us as we move forward into these celebratory times. And as we move forward in our daily lives, we are blessed to be of a lineage of light bringers, creating wellness in the world today. And that begins with you creating wellness within you. Om Atah Kriyasan. Namaste. Ashe. Amen. Thank you. And so it is. Cami, welcome. I am so excited that you can be here with us today. And to start off, I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about your story and how Reiki found you.
Yeah, definitely. I always like to mention that my spiritual journey started in my probably mid-30s. I'm 48 now. I really started with my first step into a yoga class. Mm-hmm. And it was with that, finding a connection with my body, mind, and spirit. I was somewhat, what I might say, detached from myself there for a while. I'd gone through some pretty challenging things in my life and was looking for something spiritually within myself even at that time, I didn't realize what I was looking for was inside of me. So I was looking for these external types of things. So yoga was my step into a spiritual world. And then through 1 year in particular, I had several friends of mine all talking about Reiki. And, you know, I always laugh about my first reaction towards Reiki and how I was thinking about, well, you don't massage, so how does that really work? And not really in a place of knowing anything about it, so not able to fully wrap my mind around how it would work. And really putting in this sort of thought process of that's woo, that kind of thing. And then life progressed a bit, and I had one particular Reiki student that had taken a Reiki class, and she kept giving me her teacher's pamphlet. And I would say, oh, thank you. And I'd put it in the back of my manual or in the back of my notebook and just wouldn't really think too much more about it. The catalyst that really got me to that phase of deciding to sign up for a Reiki class was having a birth chart reading done with an astrologer who I just really love. And in the first words out of her mouth were, "You're a healer and a teacher. What are you doing about that?" And at that time, I was working in the medical field and teaching yoga. So I said, "I work in the medical field and I teach yoga." And she said, "No, it's more than that." And said, "Have you ever considered Reiki?" And I thought, wow, here all this year leading up, I've had at least, this is probably the sixth person that has mentioned Reiki to me. And oftentimes in those earlier days, I really almost had to have a 2x4 hit me across the head to get me to listen. So that was a big process in my life, learning to listen a little bit in a more easeful way. But yeah, that was my foray in. After the astrologer said that, I ended up signing up for a class, and the rest is history, as they say.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
So true. And since then, we've been through the more than 1,000 hours of licensed teacher training, and I think back because we were fortunate to do some of the sessions together. We attended some of the classes together with Colleen. And I think of our first class when we looked at each other and Colleen taught the whole class without a book. And we said, oh my gosh, we're never going to be able to do that. And yet we both teach that way now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it is an amazing evolution when you decide to dedicate yourself to anything, Reiki, yoga, sound, anything in life that you dedicate yourself to, how easeful life can become with it.
It's true. And so as you learned Reiki, Cami, would you say that it came into your yoga? And what did that look like?
Yeah, the interesting thing was, is I was a teacher, a yoga teacher, and teaching, and I was teaching, you know, a fair amount, between 4 and 6 classes a week. And when I say a fair amount, I had a full-time job as well. So for me, that was busy.
That's busy, and no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I loved to teach, and I really wanted to start using my Reiki, but I wasn't in a place that I really wanted to start a private practice at that time. So I started asking my students if they would be interested in receiving a little bit of Reiki during Shavasana during a yoga class. And of course, everybody was, yes, please. And so I would go around to each student and I would give them what probably equal to be about a minute of Reiki. And I ended up getting a lot of really positive feedback. People were mentioning how that 1 minute of Reiki would create such a major change in their day or their week. Some people saying, I feel this energy with me for an entire week before the next class. And for me to wrap my mind around how 1 minute of Reiki could make such a difference for people was pretty amazing. So then, you know, certainly started thinking a lot about that and was looking for a way to create something different as far as classes go, and wanting to set myself apart from some of the other community. And so I created a restorative yoga class. I was always one of my passions is restorative yoga. And so I decided to, if you will, market a restorative yoga and Reiki class, being that I was teaching restorative yoga and practicing Reiki on the clients or the students. And that was a very well received type of class, sold out all my classes. And the idea behind combining two modalities really started with that. And I think we're going to go a little bit more in depth in how that all came into fruition. But yeah, that was my step into Reiki. And then from there, I had students that wanted to have longer sessions. Okay. The 1 to 3 minutes that they received in class was not enough anymore. They wanted more. So I turned my spare bedroom into a little healing room and started seeing clients at home, which then led me eventually to becoming a master and then also having a space away from home too. So that's been nice.
That is lovely. And you use some other techniques, I think, in your yoga as well. And I know we talked about space clearing with Karen last week with counseling, but what are some of the other techniques you used in your yoga classes with Reiki? And you call it more of a marriage, I think, between the...
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I do find an emerging of the energies like a marriage, a combination of two modalities that are complementary. And so with really anything that I do, Reiki, yoga, sound therapy, I'm finding myself clearing the space when I arrive. So as we do, putting symbols all around the room, making sure the energy is clear. I do a lot of Gyoshi Ho, so I send Reiki with the eyes a lot and send the energy around the space. And I specifically teach, when I'm teaching yoga, I'll really focus in on each student as they are doing their practice. And not only am I looking for their alignment, but then on the caveat to that, I'm getting to send them Reiki too. I also use a lot of Koki Ho, which is Reiki with the breath. And I really look at using that Koki Ho with the words that we're speaking. I love poetry, I love affirmations, mantra, and so on. So I'll always envision the Reikis going out on my breath with whatever words of intention that I'm speaking. So it's been nice that way.
That's beautiful. I really think I would like to be in your class.
Yes. They are pretty wonderful. I've always said I wished I could take my own class. And interestingly, one of my yoga teachers did come and take my class once. And she said, "This is so far beyond restorative yoga. You should be calling this sacred yoga."
I really like that.
I never quite wanted to rebrand. But yes, it's pretty beautiful and sacred.
I bet you could call it that. And that just speaks to the fact that Reiki marries together so beautifully with any modality, doesn't it, Cami? There's, when we talk about Reiki, that word means both the energy, the system, and it also means the tools and techniques. And I find that the Reiki energy blends with every other system or every tools and techniques of everything in my life. I use Reiki with animal communication. I use it with horses. And you use it with yoga. And I think no matter what you're doing, it just marries so beautifully together. How did sound healing come into the picture for you?
Yeah, as I mentioned, everything in my life has interweaved with each other, and all of it starting with the catalyst of starting in yoga. So in my yoga teacher training, I found specifically a very deep love for mantra. And really dedicated to doing mantra meditation. And then through that, I heard and participated in kirtan. And there was something in my heart that just really resonated with doing kirtan, which is a type of music that uses Sanskrit mantra. And it's call and response. So I play an instrument called a harmonium, and I would play my harmonium and sing, and then the people that would come to participate, it's almost going to church in a way, singing these beautiful songs of devotion is what it boils down to. And they are also just very meditative, because most of the mantras are going to be repeated over and over again. So that was my first step into sound. And then I happened to read an article in the Reiki News magazine about Reiki drumming. And I live in Montana, and in my earlier years, I used to put some limitations on myself about what I could do. And I said to myself, I can't travel to Sedona. So I'm going to just start doing some Reiki drumming just after reading the article. And interestingly, I heard Michael Baird talk about that he had written this article and had started it. And he thought that people would want that, would do that rather. But then he found out people wanted classes. So I guess I wasn't so far off in just working with it, with my intuition there. But I had been doing quite a bit of drumming. I also have done shamanic apprenticeship work and that sort of thing. And so I had a nice drum and started doing drumming with my clients. And I really started to notice how effective sound was with the clients. And I then with that started to really feel like I didn't know anything as far as sound goes, or very little really. And so that then led me to research. And again, being in Montana, there's just not much being offered here in these types of classes and so on. So I found an extensive program with a school called the Sound Healing Academy. And I took their program that was a year and a half long, and it was a multi-instrument program, and it was with the tuning forks, with the Himalayan singing bowls or the bronze bowls, crystal bowls, gongs, the voice, and drums. And I spent a very long, like I said, a year and a half doing all of the learning and the exercises. I had a mentor in that program as well. And so I had to do all of these case studies and all of this stuff. And I did graduate with my diploma from that. And the interesting thing that I found was that I was really drawn the most to a couple of specific instruments. And I really liked the bronze Himalayan bowls, and I really liked gongs. So at that point, I also then sought out other teachers that I've worked with in depth to learn even more. So it's been a long journey. Everything that I've studied, I've dove into and really dedicated my life and my time and financial resources and all of the things to be immersed in that energy.
And yeah. I think when we were talking earlier, you said that when you did bring sound healing in, and you bring it all together sometimes, don't you, Cami? And but that really had an impact on what you were doing.
So a couple interesting things that happened when I was in my sound therapy program. I was trying to buy some new singing bowls, and they're not necessarily always, they cost money. They're imported and all of these things. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to pay for it. And so I needed to be doing case studies anyway. And so I offered my sound therapy sessions for donation. And in just 1 month's time, I had made half of the money that I needed in order to be able to buy my singing bowl set.
Wow.
Out of doing donations. So that little catalyst then caused a lot of people to come through to me, which then they really liked what they received. And so in essence, as I mentioned, it really helped almost double my business, basically, with the addition of sound. And I got to get my new bowls too.
And speaking of your bowls, how do you incorporate Reiki into your sound healing? Because I know that you do.
Yeah, more or less now, all of my sessions are a combination of the two modalities. I find that Reiki is naturally a beautiful standalone modality, and I really love to practice what we might call straight Reiki. But it really has become, sound has become such a part of my life and a part of who I am that I do the combination. And so I have bowls, the bronze bowls are easy to put on people's bodies, and you can feel that vibration in the body. Of course, then you can hear the sound as well. I do a lot of our experiences with the Holy Fire healing experiences with the sound, that kind of thing. So I do find them so complementary. I've imbued all of my instruments with Reiki. So as we may or may not know, Reiki is a catalyst or a conduit, and sound is similar, catalyst and conduit. So the Reiki can be delivered by the sound. And even in public sound journeys that I do, I don't touch any of the clients that come to those public sound journeys. I'm simply engaged in the experience and the playing. And each one of those clients receive Reiki during those experiences. So it's an amazing thing.
Oh, it sounds very win-win, doesn't it?
So. It does, yeah.
And you notice, I think you mentioned, we were talking before we started, and just you mentioned that some of the different instruments seem to provide a different result. And can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, definitely. So I work with, like I mentioned, my main instruments that I work with now, though I certainly do work with all of the ones that I mentioned. My main instruments are the bronze bowls, gongs, and my voice. So those three are my main instruments. And in essence, when we are working with sound healing or sound therapy, we are working towards creating tension to then cause release. So throughout maybe making more of a dissonant sound, we create tension so that we can then bring harmony in through the body and through the mind and heart and so on. So that is the main purpose. I find that some of the instruments can create more tension, especially the gongs, for instance. Now, I love the gongs and I could just sit there and play my gongs all day and what have you. But for someone that's a new listener, listening to a gong might bring up a lot for them. A little interesting piece of history is that a lot of the horror movies that were made and still are being made, actually the sounds that you heard were gongs. And
really?
So already on a certain psychosomatic level, we hear the sound of the gong and it like brings back this, like the body remembers those sounds. And so a lot of people can feel, ooh, it's creepy or eerie or whatever to hear some of those gong sounds. And so they tend, and I don't want to, this is a generalization, it's not always this way, but they tend to really help people work with their shadow work. And what I mean by working with shadow is that, you know, when we tend to go into and live life, and I'll talk in holy fire terms, and I know that not everybody is maybe a holy fire practitioner, but in holy fire terms, we talk about culturally created self that creates this dormant self, and the culturally created self is that part of us that throughout living our lives, we find the separateness within us. And the way that I visualize it is layers of energy that then diminish the authentic self. And so as we work on releasing these dormant layers, then we are able to reveal our authentic self. So shadow work is really intentionally going into those kind of deep and dark places that reside within us and holding them as tenderly as possible and, you know, really giving them the attention that it deserves so that we can do our best to release it. And speaking just from a place of honesty and a place of working through a lot of challenges, what I'm noticing is that trauma and different things like that release in layers. And those challenges, like for me growing up, life wasn't necessarily super easy. We had, my dad passed away when I was 5. We were homeless right after that because my mom wasn't able to continue paying the mortgage on the home. A lot of things like that, just a lot of little traumas through life. And I've really used Reiki to go back and to work with that and to help release that with using the techniques that we have in our Reiki 1 and 2 manual, using the long distance symbol to go back to those memories to release them and to bring this back around to sound. Then when I'm working with my gong for my personal healing, I'm also using the gong to be that catalyst to take me into those like deep, dark spaces and do that shadow work. And I'm not saying that all of sound is that. There is just so much beauty and depth to sound. And if we had hours and hours to continue to talk, we could talk about all of the different levels and brain waves and different things like that. But in essence, we are lowering our brain waves, slowing them down. We're slowing our pulse, we're lowering our blood pressure, all of these things to get into this place that is the parasympathetic nervous system. And it's in that parasympathetic nervous system that we can really move into a place of healing. And this is what I love about yoga and sound and Reiki, is that they all have their own way of doing exactly that, of helping us create this relaxation response
and lift out those layers. And you're right. Yeah. And they just go so beautifully together, don't they?
Yeah.
And I've noticed, I did the same thing as you after I read that article. It was very self-explanatory, and I knew that I could then do Reiki drumming. And I had a horse once with a heart wall, and it had been to several trainers. Nobody could get through to this horse. I had it for a week. And he suggested that I use Reiki drumming to release his heart wall. And when that horse, we did some other work with him as well and some Reiki work. And when that horse went back, the trainers didn't recognize him. He did everything they needed him to do. We'd really released so many layers of trauma. So animals can really enjoy sound as well, can't they?
Yeah, I took Reiki, animal Reiki 1 and 2, and I think as with a lot of us, I naturally have an affinity for animals. I grew up with horses and goats and dogs and cats and all of those things. And interestingly, in my current life, I just have one dog, and his name is Jasper. And Jasper is a Reiki master. I've initiated him to Reiki. He came to me, he was a young rescue, and he had already had quite a bit of abuse when he came to me. So there was a lot of learning to trust and everything with him. And I remember when I would put my bowls out on the floor, he would just come close and he would lay there. And he might be laying down in more of a upright sort of alerter position. But next thing he's like laying on his side, and then he's like fully stretched out. And especially when I happen to be singing, he often will just look at me and like gaze into my eyes. It's really, I call him my soul dog. And there was just such that connection when I saw his picture. I was like, that's my dog. And so yes, sound and Reiki can be worked with animals. And the one thing I always want to mention is that when working with the animals, as I know you teach, you don't chase them around your singing bowl or whatever instrument that you're using. It's really an invitation for them to come closer and to be in your space more than you in their space.
That's a really good way to put it, Cami. And yes, in Animal Reiki, we teach that for sure. And but yet they often are. All of our dogs are rescue dogs as well. And we've also worked with a lot of horses that had significant trauma, and they are very drawn to Reiki. And it's made a profound difference with a lot of our animals as well. So
Yeah, not only is it good for humans, it's good for animals. And I've actually done combination sessions where I work with a human and their dog both. And it's a pretty fun experience to get to do that.
It's really neat, isn't it? I love that. Mm-hmm. Cami, was there anything you wanted to mention before we move into the experience today?
I think we've covered everything. The one thing I'll mention about the experience itself is that we're going to do a little bit something different than what you might expect from the Holy Fire Master. I love all of our Holy Fire experiences, and I will mention that I do a lot generally. I do a lot of events and so on. So I started looking for other meditations and things like that. And so the meditation that I'll share with you today is a white activation, the color white activation. And it is a little bit more guided than our experiences are. So we'll go a little bit deeper in with the words and that kind of thing. And I'll be playing the bowls live, so that will hopefully come through well. And we'll use some affirmations at the end. So I will take you through the guidance, and then there'll be just a few moments where you'll hear the bowls alone, and then I'll bring you back. The idea behind this experience is for us to really allow ourselves to let go. We've all been through such a challenging and troubling year with a gambit of emotions. And so this meditation is to help us let go, and then also to bring in clarity. And I do appreciate that we're moving close to the solstice, and this is the energy that we want to have right now.
It really is. Thank you. Yeah. Before we begin, I just want to mention that these meditations can go quite deep. And so if you are driving, if you can pull over to the side of the road, or even just hit pause until you can move into a space where it would be safe to listen, that would be great. And Cami, we will probably leave people in the meditation. And so I just want to say thank you so much for coming today and sharing this with us. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. As I know, we had an opportunity to get to know each other in our experiences and in Portland, and stay together. And that was a real blessing and honor to have that opportunity. So I appreciate that.
It was so nice to get to know you. And now I'm so excited to let my listeners get to know you too.
This happens all the time. I always say one more thing.
Sure. Yeah.
If you do have the opportunity for those listening to put in headphones, that is a nice option to be able to bring in the sound. Certainly, I know that we listen to podcasts often from our phones. I know I do myself. And our little phone speaker is not really optimized for the best sound quality. And so if you have headphones, it's a nice thing to be able to put them in as you listen to this combination of Reiki and sound journey that we're going to do.
That is great advice. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is the color white healing activation. Today we're going to work with the color white. White is one of my favorite colors. It represents light and other beautiful qualities like truth, integrity, surrender, purity, and joy. It feels like innocence. When you tune into it, you have a feeling of being completely loved, taken care of, and supported. It also enhances clarity and understanding, action, and those are the qualities that we are going to be working with today. Close your eyes and focus your attention inward. Draw your attention to your breath, inhale and exhale. As you exhale, let go. Feel any tension that you have in your body dissolve. Relax your shoulders, relax your belly. Let go of any thoughts or worries that you have. All of the emotions that are calling for your attention, let them go for this time. Allow your mind to relax. Inhale, exhale. exhale. Imagine that you are standing on the biggest, most magnificent white crystal mountain. You are right there at the top of the mountain. Inhale deeply and allow the clear, white, emanating light from the mountain to purify, energize, and enlighten you. As you breathe in the pure white crystal light, visualize yourself letting go of all the unnecessary baggage that you dragged up onto the mountain with you. Let it go. Set it free. Tune into the energy of freedom. Be completely free of the thoughts, the emotions, the fears, the anxieties, the anger, the resentment, the tiredness. Just let it all go. As you let go, breathe in the energizing white light that is emanating from the crystal mountain that you're standing on. Feel into the ease of your body and your soul as you let go of the heaviness, the busyness, the sadness. Let it all go. Everything that isn't serving you, let it go. And instead, breathe in the beautiful, purifying white light that is emanating from the crystal mountain that you're standing on. Focus on circulating this brilliant white light from the tips of your toes through your whole body. Feel your body soften and lighten up even more. Breathe in the white light. Feel yourself being purified in thought, word, and deed. Now I want to shift your focus. Imagine that you are embodying a magnificent eagle. Feel into your large wings. Begin to notice how strong they are and how they're helping you lift off of the mountain. Give yourself permission to soar. You are flying. You are soaring. So high in the sky. You are soaring over the majestic landscapes. All of the beautiful earth, the valley. valleys, the mountains, the lakes, the rivers, the ocean. Notice everything that you have created in your life. Acknowledge your journey and soar, baby, soar. Feel this feeling of freedom, this feeling of lightness and beauty. Fly amongst the whiteness of the clouds. Feel yourself gliding and flying. The eagle is guiding you now. Follow the guidance. The white light is guiding you now. Follow the guidance. Slowly see yourself moving down from the sky, safely returning home to the earth. See yourself landing on a shore of a mirror calm lake. As you look into the lake, see your reflection, look into your reflection and look into your eyes. See that depth and inner beauty. And silently affirm with me, I have the clarity I seek. I have the clarity that I seek. I know what actions to take. Our color activation for today. You can call on Eagle Medicine to give you the gift of clarity anytime that you need clear vision. You can return to the Crystal Mountain anytime you need cleansing, clearing, and clarity in your life. It's been an honor and a privilege to be with you today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Namaste.
Thank you, Cami. That was beautiful. And I want to say thank you to the listeners as well. I hope that going forward, you all have a beautiful holiday season and that this sound meditation and our talk today might assist you with that. Namaste.
Thank you.